This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along as we talk today with Chris Berlath from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. And Chris is actually the first guest in the studio in, I think, about 16 months. So, Chris, wow. you're entering the history books here, the post-COVID history books.
Love it. I love it.
Welcome to the program. And certainly COVID will enter into our talk today, as it seems to just about everything we address these days on the program. Chris is Executive Director of Membership and Director of Leadership Susquehanna Valley at the Chamber. And Chris stops by every so often to update us. And actually, last time it was via phone, but we're doing it in person. So, Chris, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Matt. Really appreciate it.
Let's start with that latter part of your title, Leadership Susquehanna Valley, as you're taking new applicants for the new year, kind of wrapping up the old one. For folks who are not familiar with that, give us the nutshell version of Leadership Susquehanna Valley.
We don't have enough leaders in the valley. That's the key factor for this organization, why it exists. We simply do not have enough leaders. We don't have enough engaged leaders. And anybody who's volunteered with a nonprofit knows that there's probably two or three people who are your key go-getters. The whole purpose of Leadership Susquehanna Valley is to engage more business professionals into not only the nonprofit world, but also into leadership roles in the community, whether it's in local government or to be more educated with regard to the industries here. It started in 1994, so we are coming up on 30 years old, which is really exciting. But what we do is each year, we put together a program of close to 30 people, and those 30 people use the Greater Susquehanna Valley as a classroom, traveling across the region, learning about a variety of industries, from communications to healthcare, agriculture to tourism. There's just a wide spectrum of things that they get exposure to. And in addition to that, their employers are entrusting us with their up-and-comers and or their established leaders. So we make sure we give them a great curriculum of leadership coaching and training as well. So that's really the point of the program. It's targeted right now, as I said, at business professionals. It's what a lot of community programs in the whole country call a flagship program. We run from August through May, typically, for our program days, with graduation ceremonies in June. And in addition to the two-day retreat and the eight program days, class members have to visit with local nonprofits. They have to attend nonprofit board meetings, and they have to work on some community service together. So the goal for this year's class has been to manage through COVID and try to give them an equal experience to the one we've always provided. And I think we've really been able to rise to the challenge thanks to our own board of directors, where we were in person for the beginning of the fall season, right? So our September retreat was in person, our October Communications Day was in person, then we moved to a virtual format. But I gotta tell you, Matt, like so many of the chamber's committees, some of the virtual panel discussions and guest speakers have been folks we might not normally have gotten to travel here. And so for that, the content has been really rich.
It's one of those few upsides on the pandemic.
You know, I got to tell you, it's been really amazing to see how quickly our entire community is able to rally into some virtual business networking and things like that. You know, we did this study. We followed up on a national chamber initiative. The Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives put out this thing. And I've come and spoken to you about it before, the Horizons Initiative, saying that the way that we communicate in business is going to change, and the way that we gather and network will change. They expected it by 2025. They didn't, you know, have the foresight to guess pandemic. But during the pandemic, a lot of the things that the ACCE were saying have come true for chambers, where we're doing a lot more virtually, and we're projecting into this, I'll say, newer normal. I won't necessarily say better normal, but I think you're going to start to see, not only in leadership programs, but in all chamber programs, you're going to see a hybrid format where folks who can't take 3 hours out of their day to pick up from work, travel to an event, go to the event for an hour and a half, turn around and travel back across the valley, they're going to be able to say, hey, I'm going to watch this from my computer, or I'm going to engage with this from my computer. And it's been really neat to see some of the engagement we've gotten.
As for Leadership Susquehanna Valley, for folks interested, what do they need to do at this point? You have a deadline coming up.
Sure, we do. Thanks, Matt, for saying that. So June 11th is our deadline for the new class. The class, like I said, begins in August, but we're really excited. This year, we've made some great strides forward for our program and our offerings, namely in the form of scholarships and partnerships. So our organization has run very well. Our board of directors is really keen on making sure anyone who wants an opportunity to go through leadership goes through it. So they had designated COVID-19 relief funds in scholarships. That was an internal adjustment that we made. We also created about 2 years ago now an endowed fund through the Community Giving Foundation, and the interest for that helps us to pay for scholarships on a sustainable level. Even more exciting is that this year we announced that the Community Giving Foundation out of Sunbury, they are partnering with us to provide two nonprofit executives one full scholarship each to go through the program. So all of that can be done online at www.leadershipsv.org. The scholarship applications are there, and the application for the class is right there as well.
One of the big issues that we're hearing about now as we come through and go beyond the pandemic is the fact that there's such a shortage of labor. Discuss that problem a bit, you know, why that's happening and, you know, how the chamber is working on it.
Workforce has been a top concern in our chamber strategic plan now for a couple of years. And so the way that we had really started to address it was noticing that there is a skills gap, especially with trades and skilled laborers in the valley. So when the power plant came in, especially, and as we've been working with our school districts, we've tried to help develop a pipeline through a program called Career Pathways with the tech schools to bridge this skilled trades gap. We've been really keen on that, and our higher education institutions have been doing a phenomenal job as well, especially with articulation agreements, where, you know, Lackawanna College now in Sunbury has agreements with Susquehanna University. There's the new branch of Luzerne County Community College in Watsontown, and they've got some articulation agreements as well that are great. Suffice it to say, some of these institutions can listen to employers, find out where they have gaps in their workforce, and then develop programs to help train people right into those. So we've been very supportive of some of those agreements and initiatives. We've been very supportive of the Career Pathways program. But now, like you said, what we're hearing is the workforce shortage is really exacerbated due to the pandemic. We've heard from a lot of employers, especially in hospitality industry, that they cannot get their employees to return. There's a lot of national level speakers, probably with higher IQs than me here. And they'll tell you a number of reasons. You know, some folks are saying that they're returning to better jobs, or they're finding better jobs and advancement in other places. But bottom line, we keep hearing from our employers that a lot of folks are still receiving that $300 benefit, and they're still making a little bit more enhanced money with that benefit than they would if they returned to work. So our governmental affairs committee is really active. We've been trying to get as much information as we can, and we're engaged especially with the state chamber and the U.S. chamber, who have been sharing a lot of information about how this is far surpassing a regional issue. It is a state and a federal issue. So, you know, I think right now we would like to see some changes made to that $300 benefit. We heard from our chief economist, Anibon Basu, in March, that one of the number one things that will help turn the economy around will be women returning to the workforce, and that a barrier to that could be childcare and the return of childcare institutions. We've actually just seen a study coming out of the PA chamber that says that while that's a significant issue in childcare centers for women returning to work, overall for unemployment where it is negligible compared to other things that could be addressed. So childcare and return to childcare is not the primary reason right now folks aren't returning. Just really fascinating statistics.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons behind it, I'm sure. You tend to hear people say, well, they're making more in unemployment than they would on the job. But then I've heard other people say, well, maybe that says something about what they're being paid.
You know, I got to tell you, I've noticed around here that the minimum wage has been a training wage. Primarily, that's especially how we view it at the chamber. The minimum wage is a training wage. I've heard from a lot of employers, though, that they are giving incredible incentives to return to work and that folks aren't biting. So I can tell you, McDonald's, for example, I don't know if this is true locally or not, but I know McDonald's was just in the paper. They're offering $50 for anybody who will come in an interview. I did hear from a company in Montoursville who said that they offered $100 signing bonus. Then they jumped that up to $1,000 signing bonus. They're having a lot of interviews with folks. They get from the interview to the job offer. They have 10 or 11 positions open. And when they get to day one of work, nobody shows up. So it seems at least that people are very interested at first, but when they end up getting into it, there's some sort of incentive to stay home, which is disheartening. Not an easy issue.
Yeah, not something I think any of us would have thought a year and a half ago was going to become an issue. It's right. Just it's the way things have gone. So certainly something that I'm sure is a big concern with the chamber. I mean, you're dealing with all these businesses that I'm sure in many cases don't have the workers they need.
Yeah, I'd love to tell you, Matt, that I had answers to. I really don't. But what I can say is we really think that it's super important right now that we don't have our head in the sand with other issues that are going to pop up as well. During the pandemic, one of the things that came to pass was that new overtime rules and regulations are going to start to hit for exempt employees in October. And so the time is ticking away on that. Any nonprofit organizations, any private schools, they're going to be hit by new minimum salary requirements for overtime. And this is going to be a major issue. We have just had Kathy Speaker McNett from Scarlato Sonnert. She's a labor attorney in Harrisburg. She came up and spoke to us. We've got a lot of stuff on our YouTube channel for that governmental affairs issues right now. But, you know, it's an incredible time because you look one way and you hear a $300 benefit and is there a return to work search requirement in unemployment? And then, you know, we start to deal with that. And then all of a sudden we're dealing with the overtime stuff. So it seems a lot like employers are overwhelmed and they don't know where to get the answer. And that's where what the chamber is trying to do is serve as a filter where, you know, come to us and we'll try to get you the best information.
And I would think in the last year and a half, your job has probably felt like it's changed tremendously in the way you're helping. I mean, you're dealing with businesses, but now their needs are probably completely different than they used to be.
Oh yeah, completely. And I mean, I'll tell you my personal story is that, you know, I was actually laid off for a time. We weren't sure where we fell with our chamber staff in terms of essential or non-essential. Like so many businesses that were surprised with a list, we didn't know where we fell. So, you know, our leadership, our nonprofit board, they took some time and reviewed it with Bob Garrett, our president and CEO, and they worked really hard to care for the staff. But I was one of those people making more on unemployment than I was going to work every week. And I won't lie to you, I thoroughly enjoyed more time off with the kids and the wife. That said, you know, I take a lot of pride in my work. I'm excited to work with folks every day. The job has totally changed. We've had to learn technology in some incredible ways, not only how to host a Zoom meeting, but how do you have an annual awards night in a production format, right? So we actually produced as if it were the Grammy Awards or some crazy thing like that. We produced our own award ceremony. We had a lot of help. We had some great folks, Stonestein Entertainment, super helpful, and Sunbury Broadcasting was helpful with some things. And you know, so there's just a lot of folks really engaged with us, but just really unbelievable technology we've had to learn. And then we've had to continue with our events. You know, our chamber, the way that our chamber has a finance model is we make our money on membership dues and on sponsorships and then on contracts. And our contracts are for services rendered. So the leadership program is a great example of that. We contract with them. But when you waive memberships, right, for businesses that are struggling so we get them the best information, it's really important that we kept all of our events going. So virtual versions of that, tough.
Other thoughts, other issues, other programs, anything else you want to throw in here that the chamber is going to be presenting or issues dealing with in the coming months?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm going to go back and tell you about a program we're in the middle of, which is going really, really well. We're partnering with Geisinger and with 8 other chambers across a 12-county footprint for a program called Meals in Spring. We're coming through to the conclusion of this program. The idea is this: Geisinger would sponsor this program, and the chambers would recruit hospitality industry folks, especially restaurants, but also take out to go places as well. And any Geisinger employee would be eligible for a $10 voucher redeemable at those places. So we recruited, I want to say, close to 300 restaurants across 12 counties, and those restaurants have been able to honor vouchers for $10 each. So what's fascinating about this is the numbers at the end of the day. So there's no federal or state money coming into this, no local taxes at all. It's entirely generated out of the private sector. And the idea is Geisinger can say thank you to employees. The chamber and the restaurants can say we're so thrilled at the healthcare heroes we've had doing such great work. But the local restaurants also get a nice boost. So that we think we've generated or can generate $1.5 million into the local economy through private sector investments and efforts. So boosting the hospitality industry tremendously. So we're excited about that and what's going on there. We've got a lot of great programs coming up as well. One webinar we're going to be having with Penn State World Campus, which has been a great outlet for a lot of folks who are, moving their education online. We have a diversity, equity, and inclusion as a workforce issue presentation coming up on June 23rd. That's, again, via webinar. Our governmental affairs is really active. We're taking on this overtime question. We've got governmental affairs first and third Fridays of every month. We've also got a brand new table set up at the Lewisburg Farmers Market, sponsored by UPMC. They are our farm-to-table sponsor, and we're really just excited to be out and about with people. And so that's what the farmers market has been, and we're excited to jump into that mix as well. So.
Human interaction is back.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Yeah, we're really excited to be able to interact. We've got a membership appreciation celebration that's going to be coming up here in the late summer. We usually do that at Knoebels as a big activity. A women's leadership conference in October. We've got the most exciting thing, Matt, is a lot of people don't realize this. We are celebrating what we're calling our second century of prosperity this year. We say second century because we're the merged chamber of the region. And in that capacity, we have a couple of chambers now that are over 100 years old. So now that we can say that we're 100 plus, we're calling this our second century of prosperity, recovery being a top item on our strategic plan. But with that, we're going to have a soiree event. We're going to be having it at a new member called Area of Premium Events in Milton. They're going to host what we hope to be 500, 600 people at this soiree event where we just celebrate the history of our chamber and our path forward. So, I know you always ask, and I always forget to list them off, but we've got a bunch of new members joining. People are coming in off the streets again to learn more about the Chamber of Commerce, and our doors are open. 2859 North Susquehanna Trail in Shamokin Dam. Come on in and learn more about the Chamber.
Has much of your clientele weathered the pandemic? Have you seen... have you seen shutdowns or departures from the chamber?
We've heard some sad stories, for sure. We've certainly heard some sad stories about businesses that simply did not weather the storm. I think a couple of those we had some inkling of early on in the pandemic. I won't say there were too many total surprises. Sadly, there were a couple. But mostly, our members seem to be in good health. At the same time that they're in good health or recovering, the next steps with governmental affairs are going to be critical in terms of sustained recovery. That overtime issue, again, a major concern. The unemployment benefit, a top concern for especially hospitality industry folks.
Chris Berleth has been our guest on the program today from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. And Chris, we never have trouble filling the time because there's so much going on.
Lots going on.
Especially now with everything that's transpired over the past year or so. Thanks for being with us on the program.
Thank you. And I just want to remind folks, if you're interested in learning more about the chamber, just go to gsvcc.org. And if you're interested in that leadership program, we'd love to have you at leadershipsv.org.
And again, that 11th is the deadline June for application to that. So we appreciate you being with us, and we appreciate you, the listener, for tuning in to this afternoon's program. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.